Hey, you want that to go?
Our first takeout is a tech story, and there are a lot of mushy tech stories that are thinly described as commercials, really. But if there's a real tech story, you know Markoff's going to have it. John Markoff joins us now, New York Times technology reporter for our partner, the Times, in San Francisco, California. He's on the line. Good morning, John.
Morning.
So this story about Google, hackers actually stole some proprietary technology which may involve the security of passwords. Explain what it is exactly hackers stole from Google and how important you see it.
Well, one of the things that Google offers is a variety of web services, everything from email to word processing. And what they do is they control access with a system called single sign-on. So it's a convenience, basically. When you go to these services, you only have to sign on once, and you can use all of them. But it's kind of a gatekeeper. It's the system that controls the passwords rather than being the passwords themselves.
And this is a proprietary piece of technology that other websites that say, for instance, Chinese internet designers might be able to use, or other competitors of Google might be able to use for their own purposes. Is that the significance?
No. I think rather the reason that bad guys might be interested in having control over something like this is if you wanted to spy on anybody who used Google's services by getting access to their accounts, this would be the way you would do it.
So it's more about spying on people's behavior on Google rather than ripping off their passwords. Should we be worried?
Well, I think Google got them pretty early. I mean, the intrusion had only lasted a couple of days, and Google saw what was going out the door. So they took precautions. There's very little chance that the attackers, for example, could go back and insert a what's called a Trojan horse, a backdoor in the system. But the one area of concern, I think, is that once you get source, the actual original programmer's instructions, you can figure out how the system works. And if there's a flaw that Google's engineers didn't know about, you might be able to exploit it. So there's some risk. I don't think there's great risk.
And, you know, we don't know what they're going to discover in that source code. But for this particular hack, what has Google done to remedy the situation and to keep people from being spied upon?
Well, Google hasn't said specifically what they've done. And the day after they made the announcement that there had been a theft, they actually improved the security of Gmail by automatically turning on an encryption feature, which had been an option before.
I see. So that's the first step. And the other stuff, if they've done it, they're not going to tell you, right? Because that's really what security is all about.
They haven't been specific, but they probably did internal things to make it harder for people to tamper with their software internally in the big Google data centers.
And finally, John, before we go, is this the tip of the iceberg? I mean, are we going to see more and more of this as Google being so central to internet behavior and internet use that they really become the target for hackers more than other sites?
Well, I think Google, in this particular instance, was one of dozens of companies whose software was targeted. And overall, the situation in cyberspace is not good, to put it mildly.
All right, John Markoff, New York Times technology reporter, speaking with us from San Francisco. Thanks, John.
And for our next takeout, let's go to Takeaway sports contributor Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen. Ibrahim, it's spring, and young college student athletes, their minds turn to thoughts of first-round picks.
You got the Heisman Trophy winner at quarterback, Bradford. Bradford to the end zone, touchdown. McCoy slips away from one would-be tackle, heading into the end zone. Oh, how about that? Touchdown, Texas.
Clawson play fakes, looks, throws to the end zone. It's caught for a touchdown on the near side.
You're hearing footage of plays from Sam Bradford of Oklahoma, Colt McCoy from the University of Texas, and Jimmy Clawson from Notre Dame. Those are three quarterbacks who are seeking to be the first-round pick.
They're not looking for internships this summer, right?
They definitely aren't unpaid, let's just say that. NFL draft coming up this Thursday.
So, yeah, they're seeking to be the million-dollar quarterback coming at 22 years old. And it's interesting this week with the emphasis on the draft this week, which is on Thursday, and all this talk about quarterbacks in light of Ben Roethlisberger, who was his allegations last week. And now he's probably going to get some kind of disciplinary action from the NFL,
right.
It makes you think in a larger sense, what is the role of the quarterback in the NFL? So I think that adds a different kind of part to the conversation of these quarterbacks.
So explain to me, we'll go over these guys in just a second, but the way that the draft works is that the worst teams get the first pick.
Correct. So this year you have the St. Louis Rams, Detroit Lions, Detroit Lions. I just want to emphasize that. Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Washington Redskins have the top four picks.
You can throw me a bone. It's fine. They get first in something.
Detroit Lions. Powerhouse. Detroit
Hey, look, Lions. Before the season begins, everyone has the same record.
They
I just
do.
Want to point
it's
that
zero
out.
And zero. And so these are the teams that everyone that will. And then you round out the list. You have the Chiefs, the Seahawks, the Browns, the Raiders, and the Bills,
but
and the Jacksonville
Jaguars. Here's the dichotomy,
Jaguars.
Though, Ibrahim. That would seem to argue that you don't want to be the first-round pick because you're going to end up on a terrible team.
Well, okay, so you want to be the first-round pick because you get guaranteed money. So if you're a young guy, you're coming out at 22. If you're coming in at some of the lower rounds and you're coming into a better team, you're not going to get guaranteed money. You may not even necessarily make the team.
Right.
As the first overall pick, you're getting guaranteed money. So you definitely want to be the number one pick.
And then you can trade up.
Exactly.
All right. So tell me who you think is going to go first.
Well, it looks like everyone's talking about Sam Bradford. He played at Oklahoma. He's probably the best suited to be a pro quarterback. And they're all well suited to be pro quarterbacks, but he's going to have he's got a lot of the tools and the skills to play at the high level.
And rookies are hotter because Sanchez did so well with the Jets last year.
That's a good point. And Jimmy Clausen fits that bill because he played in a pro-style offense at Notre Dame underneath Charlie Weiss. He's the best suited to be an effective NFL quarterback today. And then, of course, you have Colt McCoy. Colt McCoy played for Texas. Now, this is interesting. If Colt McCoy gets picked fourth, then he'll play under Donovan McNabb, and he could end up being the best one because he'll have the best tutor and the best mentor.
Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, Takeaway Sports contributor. Coming up, we're going to talk about risk. The NFL draft could be a risk, but would you trust Wall Street if it means you might be able to get your money back? Tell us about risk-taking for your life at 877-8-MY-TAKE.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here? And maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.